Hello and welcome to the Music Matters Episode 1, the Whack Matters Music Podcast, where myself, Michael Nipp, and a friend of mine, TJH, like to have music conversations on the phone while I am, in transit between different places. This week, we decided to talk about the new J. Cole album. We hadn't had a chance to actually discuss that, so we talk about the J. Cole album and a couple other things related to hip-hop. So, of course, Drake comes up and the new Drake album that's incoming, also the potential for a new Kanye album. We touch on these things briefly, and hope you guys enjoy.
We haven't actually had a chance to talk about the J. Cole album yet much.
Okay, yep. No, we haven't.
So, you listen. How many times have you listened to it?
I think a total. I think on the first night, I stayed up and I listened to it twice on the first night.
Okay.
So because it dropped. They dropped it early. They dropped it like at 10:50, I think. About 10:45 or 10:50 is when it dropped. And so I listened to it at least twice. Then I think I listened to it. One more time over the weekend, and then of course none this week. It's been crazy this week. So I think a total of three times.
Okay, I think I'm on two. I finished two.
And I may have repeated, like, I may have repeated certain songs a lot more than that. But if I was going to say from, you know,
sure,
start to finish in the album three times.
Sure. So what kind of was your feel for it? Like, how did you think that it was going to be received based on your first listen? Or did you already have preconceived notions that it was going to do pretty well?
Well, I already had preconceived notions just because it's J. Cole. And
yeah.
I know that he was, and it's rap. So J. Cole, rap, okay. I knew streaming numbers, you know, you just know. And he wasn't going against the release of Drake or the release of a Kendrick or, you know. In other words, he didn't have any massive competition. And I don't even think, so I'm trying to think of all the albums that were released that night. There was nothing even really, I don't think there was anything even really substantial in any other genre to really make it even a major, like, I mean, it was pretty obvious he was going to dominate. So I wasn't worried about his success as far as streaming numbers. I figured he was going to rack up the numbers and then most likely probably push him to a possible number one on the Billboard.
So he mostly just kind of ignored the current rap trends.
Which is kind of his thing.
Yeah.
I mean, J. Cole, I wasn't really expecting J. Cole to become a trap artist. So, you know,
He does do that first song, or that first real song, where he kind of, I don't know, maybe makes fun of it a little bit.
Right, okay, right.
And then...
Yes.
And not only does he, you know, ignore the trap trends, he straight up, you know, continues to call them out. That song, 1985, I thought was pretty...
Yes, he definitely calls them out in 1985, definitely.
Pretty hardcore. And, like, right. even on, he alludes to it on other songs where he's referencing the, you know, the drug addict lifestyle and the problems with addiction.
Now, is he going after the lifestyle? I mean, that looks like there are different ways of interpreting it. Is he going after the lifestyle of that rap world, or is he just going after that lifestyle, no matter if it's in the rap world or not in the rap world?
Sure. I think 1985 seems to be the whole thing, whereas the rest of the album tends to mostly be substance abuse.
Exactly. So that's why my argument was, when I heard it, my argument was the album should be played with 1985 being separated from the rest of the album. But that track doesn't follow, in my opinion. My first initial thought was 85 seemed out of place. It's like when I listen to Lemonade, Formation doesn't fit. Like, Formation doesn't belong to the Lemonade narrative.
I kind of see what you're saying. The only thing is, to me, it feels like it's a commentary on the rest of it, because most of the album is about is anti-substance abuse. Like, it's talking about the problems with abuse, the problems with addiction, the problems that he had to face with his mom with addiction. And the thing about 1985 is, I think it's an opportunity for him to call out the types of people that promote that lifestyle as a good thing.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. It just, to me, 1985 comes across to me as a typical rap diss track.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
like it almost has that feeling like, okay, we get it. You're an older rapper and these new kids, you don't like what they do. So
how old is J. Cole?
30 some. You'd have to verify.
Okay.
30s.
That is decent. That is decently old for modern.
Yeah, and he's been in the rap game for a long time. So in other words, you can kind of say, okay, I get it. You have a certain feeling of how rap should be, and the new people don't follow your version of it. Because I've seen this a bazillion times, being a rap fan since Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash. I mean,
yeah,
every time rap changes, the previous quote unquote generation of rap wants to then dog the new gen, and I hate that mentality because music has to change. You can't keep producing the same stuff. It's got to change. You may not like the change, but it's the change. And it has to go through that, because if you don't get that change, you can't get to the next change.
But to me, I definitely get what you're saying. To me, I don't, and I think that this is why some people are feeling that J. Cole's a little preachy. I saw it less of a diss track of it was better this way. I saw it more of not necessarily a diss of trap style music as much as the trap lifestyle of.
Right. I think if you interpret it as the trap lifestyle, right? I would have to go lyric by lyric and see if I could prove that. But if that interpretation is correct, then A, it fits the narrative of the album, and it kind of serves as a summary of all of his charges, and I think that then it would be, the album should be played in the order in which it's presented.
And that's kind of how I saw it.
Hang on one second, hang on. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so because there's some debate about which order the album should be played in. There's all these articles going, fighting for different orders for whatever reason. So I think if you go with that interpretation, you're right, that song kind of serves as a summary, and it fits the narrative. And I don't think one can argue that it's a wrong interpretation. I think it's definitely a possibility. If you kind of view it more as a diss track, kind of just going after a new style of music because he feels that it's below him and it's not up to what rap should be, then it doesn't seem to kind of fit the overall narrative, and it comes across as a rap. Kind of a just
sure.
A track. Right. And so then you have to kind of reinterpret the album or determine which order it should be played in at that point.
I guess my interpretation that the 1985 was more of a condemnation of the trap lifestyle was why I had a hard time kind of seeing your perspective of it when we had talked earlier, that it was more of a standard diss track. The thing is that, based on what I can tell on the internet, most people accept that he's top three of our generation. So regardless, what he says means something. Because you got Drake, you got Kendrick, and you got J. Cole.
Absolutely. Now, I would completely agree that there's no, I think most would argue that he belongs in the top three, top four of our generation. I think that is true. I think a lot of people would make that argument because his was it his first album? Yeah. Well, even his last album. But his first album received just absolute, universal acclaim type situation. And even the 2016 album received, I think there were some critiques of it that were somewhat negative, but I don't know if it reached universal acclaim, but it was pretty close. So yeah, there's no question he is well respected, but there have been many well respected people who then turn on the new generation of rap. I mean, I can go throughout the history of rap and see that happen.
Because, I mean, he regardless of whether or not he's calling out the new style of rap, he definitely does not adopt it. We mentioned that earlier.
Oh,
he definitely throws back to some older style, a little bit of, like, blending of styles, but it is most definitely not a trap album.
And I got no problem with that. I don't think he should try to produce a trap album, because that to me would not be genuine. I think that's, I hate when an artist completely changes their style to try to fit the new. I think they should modify their style maybe to give it a more modern sound. But in his particular case, he accomplishes that. There's nothing that sounds dated. You can definitely see its roots in a previous generation, but it doesn't sound dated. It still sounds fresh. So I think from a musical standpoint, he accomplished what he should have accomplished, and then everyone can then debate all day lyrically, did he accomplish what he accomplished? You know, obviously that one article, I can't remember where it was super critical of it being
exactly
overly preachy, and I hate that from two perspectives or a couple of perspectives. One, I can't stand when someone says something is preachy, because how do you determine when something's preachy? Because I can go through the history of rap, and they're preachy about all kinds of stuff. Like, if I'm sitting there rapping about gold chains, girls, booze, what is that not preachy? Is that not preachy and being very up in your face and bold about that lifestyle? So if you come out against it, does that make you preachy? Like, I don't understand what preachy means, because I used to hear that all the time. Secular rap critics would criticize Christian rap for being preachy, and I'm like, well, are you telling me secular rap is not preachy?
Sure.
It's preachy. It's bombastic, in your face, promoting a certain perspective. So I hate criticizing something for preachy, but from my perspective, from listening to a lot of rap, I just didn't feel, I thought it was going to be far, I was expecting something far more bombastic against the lifestyle.
Sure.
And I just felt that it was pretty measured, offered some pretty basic critiques and concerns, and I didn't think it was really that rap is always about being aggressive and in your face, and I felt that up to 1985, there wasn't anything overly aggressive or bombastic about what he was saying. I think he was saying some very, in many cases, I agree with his perspective, but I didn't feel like it was as bombastic as typically rap would be about a subject.
Sure. I think that's a fair criticism.
And when rap takes on a subject, you're usually like, okay, just tell us how you, like, you know, when Public Enemy wanted to talk about the 911 system not responding in a timely manner to African-American communities, I mean, there was no doubt by the time you finished that song what they were saying. I mean, that was, you're like, okay, we get the, when they felt that Hollywood had, you know, were holding African-Americans back, and they call for the burning down of Hollywood, okay? I mean, literally, burn Hollywood, burn. I mean, like, you don't sit there and go, I wonder if that's preachy. Like, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's too aggressive. I don't think J. Cole really ever went that hard on the subject.
I think that's a really good comparison. Okay.
And I think I'm like, okay, you know, you're fine, yeah, okay.
Well, he even says, he's like, I don't want to offend anybody, but I think this is bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, he didn't, and I'm not saying that that's a negative. I'm not saying that that's negative that he wasn't as preachy. I just felt that I'd heard all this hype that this was going to be this, like, he was going to go after the drug addiction, like, you know, he was going to burn it down. And I'm like,
I mean, he does in a world where weed is pretty close to becoming, like, fully accepted. He does say a lot of things about weed that are not the standard, but it is not necessarily aggressive.
True. Yeah, true. So I think he kind of presented it in a more calm, articulate manner, and so for someone to say that he was preachy to me just screams hypocrisy, because those same people will be praising some other rap album. I'm like, you're telling me that's not preachy? I mean, it's like shoving that lifestyle in my face. So I think rap, by its very definition, has always been preachy. Maybe other than Drake, because he just seems not too concerned about being, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, oh, I love this, you know, yeah, oh, I got problems, and yeah, nobody loves me. You know, like,
Yeah, so that brings me,
like,
we got two bonus questions this time. Okay. Bonus question number one. When Drake's album comes out, does anyone give a crap about the J. Cole album anymore?
Sadly, probably not.
At the end of the year, will critics even be talking about the J. Cole album because of how successful Drake will be?
No. What will happen is the hardcore rap publications,
mm-hmm.
right, that will release their best of, J. Cole will be probably in the top five.
It's
not number one. It's not number one from a critic perspective.
Yeah, I just still feel I feel like the conversation's pretty split on it because, you know, that one article that I shared that talked about him being preachy also talked about the raps not being very good, which I think is subjective to some point. But like, I don't know.
I think Drake is going to own the mainstream publications. The hardcore rap will give their nod to J. Cole. J. Cole may even get I'd have to go see what the overall, I haven't looked at the overall reviews. If the reviews are kind of getting him close to universal acclaim, then he'll probably end up in the Grammy talk.
Yeah.
Like Kendrick did. If it's not that universal, if he doesn't have a universal praise in the critic world, then there is a chance he will be forgotten. Once the Drake, especially if Kanye releases multiple albums like he's talking, who knows what the heck will happen. J. Cole, it may be hard to even remember J. Cole by the time that happens with all the controversy Kanye is kicking
up. If Kanye releases an album and Kendrick releases an album, do those still matter if Drake releases an album?
They will.
Kanye has raised a crazy amount of controversy in the last 3 days. So.
Oh, yes.
And like we don't have time to broach that right now.
The thing with Drake is what will happen, it seems, is it doesn't matter if critics love it, doesn't matter if critics hate it, it's going to be listened to 80 billion times.
Everyone will listen to it.
I mean, look at the number. I mean, it's like staggering. We're witnessing like literal history before our eyes.
Yes. Well, I was a little bit surprised that J. Cole was able to knock off Nice for What. Nice for What did not live on the charts as long as God planned it.
Wait, did he knock Nice for What off the chart?
Off the Apple charts, at least. I guess not the Billboard charts.
Yeah. I don't think he did the Billboard charts.
No. Yeah. So, it's okay, here's bonus question number two, which we kind of already addressed. If Martin Shkreli is able to release his Nasty Claws, and Thought Harder the Fifth were to be released, would it matter in an album or in a year where Kanye could be releasing multiple albums, Drake releases an album, J. Cole releases this album, Kendrick may release another album because he's Kendrick Lamar? Does that even matter this year if that happens?
I don't think anything matters. From a numbers perspective, nothing will matter once. I think we may witness history where when the year is done, the only thing that's going to be remembered will be Drake.
What is the last time we saw an album like that?
Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we own the world.
We already saw the stats that God's Plan was the biggest song in the last 25 years, and that's probably still growing.
And Nice for What replaced that, and so that means Drake now has this length of time as being number one by even replacing himself that's already broken, like, I can't remember, records 20, 30 years old. And then when he releases an album, who knows how long the album will remain number one on the Billboard charts.
And who knows just how many songs will be on the album. There could be 30 songs.
Yeah, it may just finish out the year. We may have the year finish out where Drake never leaves the number one Billboard singles chart, and he may never leave the number one album chart at all of 2018, which would be insane.
Especially considering last year, it seemed like we were trading every 2 weeks.
Right, yeah.
We had conversations similar to this. We were talking about how it seemed like nothing was dominating because every week or two, something new happened.
Right, right.
So that would be interesting to watch as it comes up.
Yeah, it'll be weird. I think these other albums will be remembered in some of those end of the year list that always tries to recognize a wide range of music. But the thing is when something is just streamed in numbers that no one has ever even believed possible, it's going to be hard to go, well, that J. Cole album was really relevant. It may have been relevant to a couple of critics sitting around a table talking to each other and interpreting the album, but when it's all said and done, the streaming numbers are going to say that all that anyone listened to in 2018 was Drake.
Yep.
I mean, I know that won't be a complete accurate picture, but that's how it's going to appear.
No, I mean, it's the disparity will be so huge, but essentially that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the numbers are, what is it, billion? Is it over like a billion now? I can't even know what it is.
Yeah, it was over a billion, I think. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that. Like, I'm telling you, people, Drake releases a song, they put it on repeat, and that's what all they listen to.
Yeah, I can't argue with it, because there's no other way for it to reach those kind of numbers.
Right, and remember the argument used to be that, music today is just disposable. Someone releases it on Friday, and by Monday, it's forgotten. Well,
that's what I'm saying. We said that last year.
I know.
And like, at this point, it just seems like God's plan is for some reason, like, everyone's, I don't know.
Clearly, when it comes to Drake, he's not disposable.
No. And he seems to, everything else does seem to be trading places, but not Drake.
Yeah, I mean, he just releases a song. He's like, okay, I released the song. I'm going to go take a mini vacation, and I'll come back in 6 months and release another one, and I'll still be number one.
Well, that's exactly. It just seemed like he was waiting until something like the weekend would drop, and he's like, okay, I got Nice for What. Now he waits on, J. Cole to do something. He's going to release another single. It'll become number one again. He's just waiting on something to take his place for a hot second so he can drop another one.
Yeah, and then whenever he decides to drop the album, it's over.
Yep. All right,
then
well.
Drake owns the world. I mean, the end. I mean, that's just weird.
I've made the comment. He could be the Antichrist because everyone loves him.
Dude. Well, and all the people who say they don't, it's like, look at the numbers. Somebody does.
There's not enough people in the world to listen to the song this amount of times. You're lying to me when you say you haven't.
Yeah, if everyone on the planet listened to the song 3 times a day, we still couldn't get theirs. I don't even know how it's happening.
There are third world countries where people are listening to this Drake song.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, I gotta go. I'll talk to you later, man.
Right.
Bye. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Music Matters episode 1. This has been me, Michael Knipp, for WackMatters.com, and my friend TJH. If you'd like to, and you are in the mood for a laugh, go ahead and check out our other podcast on WackMatters.com called Life's What You Rate It. It's a podcast I do with my brother. It's all for the chuckles. And if you like this podcast or that podcast, if you go to WackMatters.com, there's a little donate button on the side where you can donate money to the site to help support some of the efforts that we do. Hope you have a good day.